If you take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 3, we've been walking through, and this whole series we're in right now is simply this: Jesus is better. So the Greek there is Jesus is supreme, or is the supremacy of Jesus, but Jesus is better. And we talked about how God in Hebrews 1, the writer. The funny thing is, no one knows who wrote Hebrews. Everybody speculates who wrote it, but it ties into the scripture. It ties so much scripture. When it was canonized, this part of the scripture, actually you can trust it because it goes back, it steeps back into the Old Testament, but also speaks of relevant things in the New Testament. So it locks in hand in glove, if you will, with the rest of the scripture. So not knowing the writer does not discount the scripture at all. So, but it is written specifically to Hebrew Christians, and we benefit from their knowledge, right? We're going to go back today. We're going to take a look way back into Exodus, 3,000 plus years. And we're going to have a look into the Psalms, several thousand. And Jesus died about a little over 2,000 years ago. Even the scripture, when it was fresh for us today, is at least 2,000 years old. So these are some ancient texts that has application to you and me today. It's amazing to see Hebrews chapter 3. We learned in Hebrews 1 and 2 that God spoke in the times past in various ways, but he spoke through the prophets to the people, to the forefathers. So when God had a message to give away, he would actually send it down. He put it lay on a pastor's heart. He would inspire him to speak truth to the people. Now, technically and typically, the message was from God with the flair of the preacher, whatever his personality was. God didn't make him become some new something. He was a righteous man, and he spoke with his personality to the people, and he spoke the truth. Now, typically what happened was when he spoke the truth, the people killed him. Or the people persecuted him. They didn't want to hear the truth because when you're living in sin, you don't want to hear that you're living in sin, right? If I come down and I start, and I know something about a lot of people in this church. I'm the pastor, so I know some secret sins. Somebody told me the business dealing sins, family sins. And if I come by, if I get close to your family, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start feeling the pressure ratchet up going, wait a minute, is he going to say my stuff? Because I know something about most everybody in the building. I'm not everybody because if you're a guest, but I can tell you, if you're a guest, that you've lied before, have you not? You've stolen something before that wasn't yours. You've taken something that wasn't yours. So at minimum, I know we have a room full of lying thieves. Amen? Yeah? Come on. You look around the room. I don't want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you're a lying thief. Don't do that. But understand, we're on the same basis. When your mother gave birth to you, she gave birth to a sinner. Because Adam and Eve sinned, everyone who's been born from that lineage, which is... By the way, if Adam is your grandpa, would you raise your hand? If Eve is your grandma, would you raise your hand? We all come from the same place. It doesn't matter. We talk about race issues today. Listen, there's only one race, the human race. There's ethnic groups, different. God's beautiful in his colors. He's made us different shades of brown, right? That's all you're going to get, by the way. We always used to sing the song, Jesus loves the little children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white. And I'm like, never seen a red person. I think it was talking about Native American Indians, I'm not sure, the yellow, I don't know if that was Asian, but it's really the new song. Have you heard the new one? Wendy has it in her 4K class, different shades from light to dark or dark, something like that. We all have a color of brown in our skin, even the whitest of what we call white, and I'm not a white guy, right? Just so you know, that's white. All right, so we understand, listen, we're just family. We're the creation of God. And then we sinned against God. When Adam and Eve sinned, we sinned. So we've been separated from God. Hebrews is going to take a Polaroid of family pictures of old and say, this is how it used to be. What a beautiful picture. And then not so pretty pictures. Have you ever got that picture that you said, aha, I could blackmail you with this one? You ever seen a picture when you were a teenager, your hair's all funky, and especially if you kept it in the 60s and 70s? You had sideburns down to here or some kind of, and your kids look at your picture and just say, is that you? That's my father, my mother in the yearbook. We laugh about those pictures, but and some pictures are not so good. Some people have blackmail on you today. If they showed their pictures they had of you from high school, boy, it'd be bad. My brother has pictures of me from high school, and it's not good. And he knows it now. I hope he's destroyed it by now. Have you destroyed it yet? My sister-in-law says no with an affirmation that she's going to keep it for as long as she needs it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3 says. Romans 3:23. Everyone has sinned. So we can understand that none of us are high and mighty. No one comes from a place of better than someone else, no matter how much money or no money you have, no matter how big your home, socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter. We all come to the same place that because we're from Adam and Eve, we are sinners. Sinners in need of a Savior. Now, the writer of Hebrews is going to bring it and tie it together. He's going to walk us through to the present day where we are today, where we have a choice to make. And the question at the end of this is, do you want to be back in the family of God? There's an invitation to be part of the house of God. When you left this morning, how many of you guys actually, whether you stayed in an apartment, a mobile home, a home, a brick home, or whatever, modular, there's all kind of homes, RV, how many of you guys actually left your home to come here today? And oftentimes this place is called the house of God. Even though God doesn't dwell here, it's just a building. During camp, this is a racetrack. All these are racetracks, right? It's a place reserved to worship God. So we read the word today. I want you to remember the chapters 1 and 2, God has spoken in various ways. But in these last days, and Hebrews is like a preacher with his finger sticking up. But in these last days, God has spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. Well, what has he said to us? So let's have a look. We're going to see. And the writer says, hey, just so you know, Jesus is better. And he went into this deep dive of angels. Jesus is better than the angels, because if Jesus, as the Bible says in John 1 and Colossians, that Jesus created all things because Jesus is God, therefore Jesus created the angels. Is it hard for you to swallow this morning to think about that? So if you created the angels, are you better than the angels? And the scripture is very clear. It affirms that Jesus is supreme to the angels. But today there's another character we're going to look at, and the Jewish people, well, if you have a Jewish background, I'm going to talk about your hero today. He's your man. As we all claim Father Abraham, us Christians, Muslims, and Jews, we all sing Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, and we do the right arm, left arm. If you've never done that, you missed church when you were young, all right? But we used to all claim Abraham as our father. But I'm not talking about Abraham. They have a champion of old, and we're going to see who it is as we look at the scripture. And they, today, still today, the Jewish people hold this man as their champion, waiting for the next redeemer. They hold him as the one who helped them escape, the one who helped them redeem them and got them out of the land of Egypt and out of bondage. Is that enough hints? He was the one that brought them through. He saved them from sin of Pharaoh and to the promised land. Do you know who that man is? Okay, you cheated. You went ahead. All right. It's Moses. All right, here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. And it starts with, it depends on your translation, a therefore, or a wherefore, or so now, or such a time as this. It's going to transition from the first part saying, hey, Jesus is greater than the angels, and then it's going to talk about how great he is, and then it's going to transition that he suffered, he was tempted, and then he bled and died. It's going to tell us all that about Jesus, and then it's going to say, therefore, or wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy and more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone. Isn't that a wild passage of scripture? You just love that. Somebody says, well, quote a scripture to me. You say, every house is built by someone. Did you know you're actually quoting scripture if you said that? It's right here from the, that's how elementary sometimes God's word is. He wants you to understand his word. It's not these high words and high language that you don't understand. Does everybody in here understand every house that's been built, someone built it? That's scripture. Feel pretty good about yourself? Every house that has been built has been built by a builder. If you say that, you can actually quote scripture almost verse for verse, all right? Let's continue. But he who built all things is who? God. We know that he's the creator of all things, even though people fight that today. Verse 5, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as son over his own house, whose house we are, if, there's a big if, we hold fast to the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, here's another therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and it's going to go back and quote Psalm 95, which we covered several weeks ago. Today, when? If there was a special running that says free chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A today only, when would you get that free chicken sandwich? Today. And you say, well, somebody would say, well, it's closed today. I understand, but if it was open today, my example is today, today. So the psalmist is quoting back, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to respond. And watch what these people had to respond to. It's pretty awesome. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. It's not woods, that's a desert, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I, God, was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That's God speaking to the people of Israel, the Hebrews. Verse 12 is a warning for us. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you. And listen, this is for us today. If I pointed my finger, it'd be like this. Lest there be any of you in this room that's come together with an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort, here's what we're to do to each other. But exhort one another today, daily, while it is called, what does your Bible say? Today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The original birthright that we have, sin. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And it's going to continue to say it again today. We'll say it again next week. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching, or someone will be preaching saying today. Today is the scripture. When do we want you to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? Today. And if I preach it tomorrow, when do we should you respond? Today. What happens is we harden our own hearts. We look back and say, well, I can't believe that portion of scripture, that, fill in the blank, whatever you have a hard time with. Do you think God's up in heaven chewing his fingernails going, oh, no, he or she is so upset with me and they don't understand that scripture, therefore they won't believe. God is a God of love, but it's holy love. Don't mess it up. It ain't like I love pizza and love grandma at the same time. We got this earthly love that we talk about. We just throw love around like it's just coins. I love this. I love that. Oh, I love going to the races. I love going to the mountains. It's one of my favorite. I just love, love, love. And we use that word and we kind of scramble the egg so bad we don't even know what it really means sometimes. Then God is also a God of hate. And some people don't like the word hate because it sounds like it's such an awful word, and it's an awful word, but God's hate is holy. As his love is holy, his hatred is holy. And we're going to do something. And God, we even read in the scripture, God is a God of wrath. God says so in the Old Testament, and God says so in the New Testament, but here's the good news. You ready for the good news? The good news for you and me is this, that in the Old Testament, you had to actually work. There were sacrifices made. When God wanted to speak, the Bible tells us that God said, okay, preacher, prophet, that's what he called a prophet, go tell the people. So the prophet, the word would come to the prophet. He was a righteous man. He would hear the word from God, and he would go to the people and he'd say, thus saith the word of God. And usually it didn't work out well. When God spoke, it was because he was angry with the sin of the people. So he sent somebody. He sent a messenger. Change your ways. Change your ways. Bridge out ahead. Don't go faster. Slow down. Stop. Turn around. Change your ways. And that's what repentance is. It's just walking this way in sin and turning from your sin. Walking away from your sin. Changing. A complete other way of going. Change your ways. And then the people would say, no, no, no. Don't let God come after us. So if y'all were to say collectively, don't let God punish us, I need you to go back and tell them a message. Well, you didn't tell the prophet. Guess who you told? You had to come and tell the priest. And then the priest would take the prayers back to God and say, God, the people said, even though God already knew, he didn't need the man, but this was his plan. This is what the people said, God. And then people would live, get into sin, and God would send the message to the prophet. Thus saith the word of God. And he would speak, and the people would say, we repent, we're sorry for our sins. Would you? They'd go run to the priest, please, we've sinned, make sure the offering's offered. And he would go and say, God, the people. But at some point, God has a limit. And God said in his wrath, watch what he did to the people. This was his chosen people. These were the people of Israel. And God did this. Look what he said. He comes full circle. He says, my wrath is being poured out. I did this in a small group this morning, and just want you to know how powerful this message is if you take it to heart. If you're 20 years, or let's say 19 and under, would you stand up? Just 19 and under. This message we're talking about this morning, only these people, if you were Jewish, got to go into the promised land. Look around. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. All you are dead. Dead, 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 dead. Only the people standing are living, plus Joshua and Caleb. I'll be Joshua or Caleb. All right? Look, this is a very small group of people that are taken out of the multitude, even in our group right here. You may be seated. Thank you all for participating. It's a small group of people. So when this message is important, when God says today is the day of salvation, guess what he means? Today, you reject me, then you're going to suffer the consequences yourself. You want my wrath, you'll get it, big boy. You'll get it. You're going to get it in the place called hell. Looking back and see, go to your notes. This is one of the bulletins important for you to have. Most people, would you agree? Well, listen to this. Most people, if not all, desire to be a part of something special or important at least once in their lifetime. I just want to matter. We often find ourselves wondering, will people remember me when I'm gone? The good news for Christ followers today is that God has a word for you. You can be remembered in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will be remembered if you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, there is still God's wrath today. Now, good news is, I'll jump a couple paragraphs. God poured out his wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ that day on the cross. God was angry with our sins, and he was wrathful, and he says, he poured it out on his son, and that's why it was so painful. The stripes were terrible that Jesus took. The beatings were terrible. The mockings were terrible. But what was terrible is that God, the Father, placed the sins of all of the world, all of your sins, on Jesus that day. And the Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone that walks up and says, I can't believe this. And the answer is, it's hard to believe. If the Holy Spirit's got to give you the belief system that you can believe, he comes upon you and says, you believe what's being said because today's the day of salvation. Today, believe this message because I sent my son, Jesus Christ. And if you profess him, you come into a relationship with him and say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Would you forgive me of my sins? I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved today. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God's wrath has been appeased. But if you reject Jesus Christ, you will pay his wrath for eternity by yourself in a place called hell. You will never satisfy his wrath. Only God can satisfy God. Therefore, Jesus Christ satisfied the Father by his death, his burial, and God raised him from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. And that's what we have here. We go back and look. Listen, Hebrew and all Christians, put that in your notes, are described as partakers of Christ, meaning we share in his sufferings, his glory, and the benefits of his sacrifice. This includes redemption and the forgiveness of sins. As partakers of Christ, we experience a deep and abiding spiritual union with Christ, one that lasts how long, church? Forever. That's what Jesus said, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, that's the you-soever, if you actually, listen, believe in him, right? You trust him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You ever get tired of hearing that? Listen, that's the song of redemption. Every time, ding, the bell rings, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Wake up in the morning, thank you for the sky. Thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you for my family. And thank you, Jesus, above all, for my personal salvation. Amen. I cannot be separated from God. What Romans tells us. Look at Romans 8:35-39 later on your own time. Paul says, what can take me from the love of God? He lists all these different things, and he says, I'm more than persuaded that we're conquerors in Christ, and nothing can take me from the love of God. If you've never been in the love of God, you've just been to church. Listen, there's a lot of people going to church today, right? To come back after COVID, everybody's so excited. We're not excited if you come to church every Sunday and you go to hell. Amen? You can go down to the country, YMCA, and just go to YMCA. It's a Christian, Young Men's Christian Association is what it stands for. You can just walk in there and join. But if you haven't ever done anything with Christ, it's just a club. It's just a place to go to. Look what he says here. As believers, we are instructed to thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We're partakers of Christ. Consider, think hard on, internalize Jesus, the apostle and the high priest, whom we confess as our Savior. As the apostle, much like the Old Testament prophets, he brought God's message to mankind. And as the high priest, he represented humanity before God. He is the believer's advocate. He's your lawyer in heaven. So there is no more prophet to hear from God necessarily, even though we have modern day preachers who preach the word of God. That guy's job has been eliminated. He's out of the picture. By the way, there are no more priests here on earth anymore. And if you have a Catholic background, I'm sorry, but that guy's job is about pointless. Can I forgive your sins? I can forgive you if you trespass against me. You say, Glenn, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And I say, yes, I forgive you. I have the power to forgive you if you cross me up. I don't have the power to forgive you on behalf of God. Right. Only God can forgive sins. You cannot go into any black box in any town, anywhere, and tell a man your sins and he forgives you of your sins. He has zero authority to forgive you of your sins. There is no prophet, there is no priest, there is one prophet, the apostle and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get hung up on the word apostle. All it means is the sent one, the one who was sent. He was sent by God. We sing it like this. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish, do we not? And then all season long we say, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. We sing all the songs of Christmas. We celebrate a baby in a manger. We celebrate that he was born of a virgin. We celebrate the wise men coming. We three kings, right? We celebrate all those things. And then we just put it aside, box it back up with the Christmas tree, and put it away for later. And then we bring it out and we sing about his death. And we have somber. We have this really sad, maudy Thursdays. And we have good Fridays. And we do some stuff on Saturday, some people do. And then on Sunday we have, oh, it's Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate. And then on Monday, we put it back in the box until next year, until Christmas. We say, he came, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, and he went back to heaven. Is that a truth? Yes. But remember what he said. If I go away, and I am going away, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send you the Comforter. So God is going to remain here on earth, not in the form of Jesus, but in the Holy Spirit. And then he says, listen, when he's coming here, he's telling us, consider Jesus. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus. Today, you have to look at Jesus. And you look and say, I receive him. I love him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my advocate. He's my high priest. Yes, he came from the Father with a message to the people. And then he turned back around. He died on the cross. He was buried and God raised him from the dead. He went back to the Father as high priest. He's the apostle and the high priest for the people, for you and me. It's a message of love that God says, I love you so much. I sent him, he told you. He lived among you. You crucified him. I raised him. He said, the right hand of the Father. And listen, today, if anyone, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has these handfuls of reservation tickets he wants to hand out. Reserve chance to go to heaven. And we say, who wants one? Well, a lot of people raise their hand. I want to go to heaven. I cannot tell you, if you don't love Jesus here on earth, why would you want to spend eternity with him in heaven? If you have nothing to do with Jesus here on earth, he's not going to have anything to do with you for eternity. It doesn't make any sense. We're just selfish humans who want the best of everything. I want to party it up while I'm here on earth and do my thing. And then maybe when I die, I'll make a last minute confession and I'll go to heaven. That's not how it works. Now, God can save you. I'm not God. He can save people last minute. But he tells us to consider this Savior that we confess. Well, back to Moses. Look in your notes, if you would. Moses was a faithful servant of God, revered by the Hebrews. However, Scripture teaches us that Jesus is considered worthy of far greater glory and honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house holds more honor than the house itself. Jesus is better than the angels in Hebrews 1 and 2. And now we find out that Jesus is better than Moses. And Moses is a high-powered man. If you look back at what he did, go back and read Moses from the time he was taken up by his name up out of the water. Moses did some pretty incredible things. I don't know what your opinion of Moses is, but it should be an exalted one, a high one of a man. But most of us get to the point and say, well, yeah, but Moses didn't go in the promised land. He didn't because he sinned. God was clear with him. But God used him in the most powerful way. But his house, guess what? In his house, not Moses' house, God's house, in that sanctuary of people, some million, 2 million people, crossing the Red Sea, the plagues, all the things that we think about, Moses was faithful. Moses had a speech problem. I don't know if you know that. If you ever read about Moses, we think he stuttered. We're not sure. He said, "Lord, I can't do it." And the Lord's like, "You can't do it, but I'm going to do it through you. What's in your hand?" He had a shepherd's stick. We call it the rod of God, right? It's even called that in the Bible because God used even a stick. Can I tell you something today, if you're living and breathing? If God can use a doggone tree stick, could he use you for his glory? God's used a stick and a rooster and a donkey. God's used all kinds of different things in Scripture to get people's attention. How much greater could he use you, a human made in his image, able to speak, able to love, able to say the Bible says and turn to the Bible, able to pray for someone, able to minister in the name of Jesus Christ? How much greater, if God can use a stick, can he use you and me? Thank you. You're the only one that can use that. Everybody else is like, "Well, I got to use me." I want you to see this. Listen, Moses was indeed faithful. It's hard to think about, right? In God's house. This is the beautiful part of this. And his work served as an illustration of the truths God would later reveal. Well, who is it? How was it? How does he reveal the truth? The truth is he's going to reveal it in Jesus Christ. But Christ, as the Son of God, is in charge of God's entire house. This is a cool thing. And we are God's house if we hold firm to our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Wait a minute. This sounds like we can lose our salvation. Be careful. We've already read in Romans. We've already read through Scripture. God promises eternal life. Can you lose your salvation? Here's the point. Look, what is he saying? He's going to call in question here some things. It says, if we hold fast, meaning if we don't hold fast, we'll lose it. Watch this. So many people, how many of you guys actually come to church more than one time before you became a Christian? Raise your hand. How many came to church more than 100 times before you became a Christian? Raise your hand. And y'all some hard-headed people. Some, all right. How many came, you think, 1,000 times or more before you heard the message? You actually heard it, and gave your life to Christ. We are these people. How do I encourage you? How do I actually get you to the point of rattling your cages? How do I preach the Word of God? How do I deliver it to you? How does our Bible study teachers do it in Catalyst? How does our youth group, all the different things, how do we give it to you? And all we can do is actually listen. If we don't take this core text, the authoritative Word of God, and break God's Word up, and listen, and evenly distribute the good stuff, and sometimes we call it the bad stuff, of the warning stuff. Now, we read stuff in this Bible, it's like, "God, this turns my stomach. And God, this makes me sick," or "God, this convicts me that I need to change." That's what this word does. The Bible says you're going to read it. We're going to get there. We're getting there closely. It's a double-edged sword. Every time someone swings this at you, they're sticking you with a sword, and it cuts deep into the deepest part of a man or woman and says, "You change this, or you're in violation of Scripture." And then you can even take the Scripture and get away from it. I don't want to change. I want to stay like I am. But that word, that wound will never go away. You'll constantly feel that scar, that the power of God working in your life, saying, "Change, change." And you can fight it. You can fight it your whole life. Change, 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 die. Because we read last week, it's appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. It's coming for all of us, y'all. 100% out of 100% die. Unless the rapture comes and takes us away. Well, look at this. This is something, if you want to say God hates something, here's one of his top 10. I believe this is number 1, 2, and 3. I'm not God, but he speaks about it a lot, so therefore I'll speak about it before him. God despises, or God hates, unbelief. He cares for us deeply and reveals truths to us today that he fully expects us to hear and respond to through the Holy Spirit in his word when he speaks. God warns us about the dangers of unbelief and the risk of drifting away from the living God. You can come Sunday after Sunday, and you can sit in a pew, and you can sing "I Surrender All," and you can sit here, and you can look with your Sunday best on or whatever you do, and amen, sing a song, pray a prayer, and die and go to hell. You're so close to the fire, yet you're not part of the family. You're not in the house of God, not this building. He's talking about the family that he has built. God is not everyone's father. When Jesus walked this earth, he told the Pharisees, he says, "You are your father, the devil." So Satan is a father of those who are far from God, and God is our heavenly father, who actually is the father of those who have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. In and through Christ alone. Remember, we've said it each week, John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." That sounds braggadocious, it sounds arrogant, it sounds prideful, but you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like it's right. Because Jesus said so. Why is it so? Because Jesus is better. You got your opinion? Is Jesus' opinion, is Jesus' facts better than your opinion? Let me say it again. Is Jesus' facts better than your opinion? Well, I believe and I think, and you ever hear people do that? Well, my God would, and fill in the blank. If you speak of another God other than the characteristics of the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is not your God. You've created a God of your own making. My God tolerates this sin and this sin. I do stuff that my God lets me get away with. My God never sent anybody to hell. My God's a God of love. You've got a fairy tale God, and it's going to come to an end. Your life is coming to an end. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle, the messenger, and the high priest, the one who sacrificed his own self for us, the Lamb of God? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? These children profess Christ. They come to the baptism and say, I've asked Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. That's what the picture of them standing in the water when I asked them. I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. There's a lot of other stuff we talked about behind the scenes. And when they're buried into the water, I believe that Jesus Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb. That's what the Bible says. And when we take them up out of the water, I believe that God raised him from the dead. That picture of coming out of the water is a picture of coming back to life and living forevermore. That God raised Jesus from the dead by publicly professing to you and me today and before God as the silent witness, these children, those people were baptized, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were raised to newness of life. You say, well, these kids are going to be kids. They might mess up. How many of you guys were saved as a child? Anybody saved as a child? Is God able to keep you saved as an adult? No matter what weather you go through, what trouble you go through, does he have the keeping power of God? God can keep you saved, and he can walk you through. But we need to be doing this very last thing. Look, make sure we're not in there, because sometimes you can sit in church, and you can have an office in the church. You could have been baptized before. But look, you show yourself. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing. They look like you. They look like me. They even smell like us a little bit, right? But how do we know a wolf is among us? When they start eating the sheep. When they reject the calls of the shepherd. When the shepherd says, come, they take off running the other way. Or they look and say, oh, we got to go. They don't know the voice of the shepherd. Beware of those people. And then he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Has anybody eaten peaches this summer? Anybody eaten watermelon? I've eaten my share of watermelon. Listen, I love watermelon, especially in July. July, for some reason, peaches are the best and watermelon's the best in South Carolina. I have never once went to a watermelon vine waiting for peaches. When we used to drive through Ridge Spring, my kids like, Daddy, what kind of trees are those? Because they look so pretty lined up. I said, you'll know soon. There's little buds come on them. What kind of trees are those, Dad? You'll know soon. As we ride by, there's peaches on. Oh, those are peach trees. How did my little kids who are ignorant of farming know anything about peach trees? They knew something about peaches, and they identified visually that tree produces peaches. Therefore, that tree is a peach tree. Listen, it's the same way in the church. You can profane him, and you can proclaim him, and we'll know, will we not? Your evidence of your fruits will be known. You say, well, I'm a Christian too. And everybody says, well, not the same kind the Bible talks about. You've got those people that you work with or in your family. I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. How about you? I'm a Christian. How about you? Right? And then I'm a Christian too. Okay, show me. Don't just show me by your words. Show me by your actions or your works. The Bible says you're saved by faith, by grace through faith, not of works, so you can't boast. But once you're saved through grace, by faith, God says, now get to work. You're my beautiful masterpiece, and I want you to go do the works I've assigned for you to do. So you're known by your words, and you're known by your works. What do we do if we see you straying? Listen, verse 13, this is that sweeping part. But exhort one another daily while it is still called. What does your Bible say? Today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That sin will creep you in. Listen, it'll get you. The devil has not changed his tactic from the beginning. When he says, did God, he implied God was unfair to Eve. Did God say you can't eat of all the trees of this garden? Look at these beautiful bananas and that watermelon, these peaches. You can't have any of this stuff. And she said, oh, no, we can have all that. God said, we can't have that tree, the one in the middle. We can't eat of that one. He got her in conversation. And she said, well, God knows the day you eat of that one, you'll know good from evil. You'll be like God. Who doesn't want to be like God? Well, they love walking in the garden with him and hearing his voice, still small voice. Look what he created for us. And if I can be like God, I'm going to take a little bit of that. And she gave it to her husband who was there with her. And therefore, we are in the situation we're in today in sin. Because this is happening today because of that one thought, I will be like God. How about you today? Love your sin today? You love walking in it and like what other people say? You love having the stuff? Or do you love the Savior who saved you? So he's first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the stuff that I have need of, he'll add to me. He'll give to me because he's God. Look at the last part. As humans, we have a tendency to grow cold and hard-hearted, drifting towards sin, especially when the world around us decays. We are commanded to encourage one another daily because sin is deceptive and we can easily be led astray. So you ever seen we were a sports fan, sports family, and Bowen was a pitcher and a quarterback, and Mackenzie played ball, and we always tell her, you get a batter comes into the box, I was a catcher, and we'd say, look at his feet, or look at her feet, you know which way the ball is going to go. They have a tendency. And a pitcher has a tendency as well. You ever seen a pitcher, he wipes, he'll lick his hand, or he'll wipe twice here, he'll go to his bill, he'll work his bill, he'll do something, he has tendencies. And some pitchers, I was watching, my wife made me watch the Braves game last night. I walked in and watched 30 seconds, I walked out, but a pitcher, the young guy kept going and he'd walk off the mound like this. He turned his back and walked back up. And I said, of course it's major league, but if it was little league, guess what we used to do with pitchers to do that? Pitchers walk out and talk to a shortstop like this and raise his hand. His hand's on his bill of his hat. Where's the ball? In his glove, and you got somebody leading off third and you're going to steal home. We've stolen home a lot with little kids because they'll do about anything. A pitcher has tendencies, but here's what the Bible says. We as humans have tendencies as well. You have a tendency. You ever seen the slides and people get off the base and step just an inch off or to dust themselves off and it's a trick play and they touch them with the glove? They're out because they got off the base. They just strayed just a little bit off the base. That's where you and I are today. Listen, if you're not careful, this world's going crazy, and that's the way it's supposed to happen. It's winding down to the end. And as the world gets crazy, you have an opportunity. Do you get on the crazy bus and join the club? Or do you sit on the outside and say, listen, stop, the road's out. Don't get on that bus, it's headed to destruction. And people say, yeah, they mock you, they make fun of you, but you speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, listen, he's the only way. In a world saying there's multiple ways, Jesus is saying there's one way, that he's the way. The writer of Hebrews here is very clear for us. One, be sure and careful that you're in the faith, that you're in the family of God. You're of the house of God. Be faithful like Moses. Be faithful like Jesus. Be in the house of God. But you got to know that you know that you know that you're in the family. If you don't know, your knowledge will cause, lack of knowledge will cause fear. Am I saved or I'm not? You'll pray every night, God, save my soul. God, save my soul. God, save my soul. God, I'm sorry for my sins. Every time you get in sin, you'll ask over 1,000 times. Kids do it all the time as well. But remember this, Jesus died on the cross once for all. One time. When you truly mean it with him, you must receive him as your Lord and Savior once and for all. And how long does it last? The Bible tells us he's our high priest forever. Jesus himself said, I'll give you eternal life. Believe on me. So today, here's the challenge. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you part of the family or house of God? Have you invited him to your life, and is there evidence in your life? Or have you come so close to the fire that you've gotten warm like everybody else, but you've never truly committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because as soon as you walk out of here on Sunday afternoon, you start talking that chatter, you start gossiping, you start doing those things that are wrong away from God. He's looking for people that are his faithful, holy brethren. Not saying you won't sin again, we will, but he's looking for those people who will live a righteous life. Are you that person? Are you living opposite of the king? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, when I read this passage of scripture, it's heavy that we to encourage each other daily because there's some people that gather that don't belong to you. They sing the same songs. They pray the prayers. They might even read the Bible, but Lord, their heart's far from you. And you tell us today to encourage and to ask over and over again, are you in the faith? And once we know, we listen, we say, without any kind of scarcity, Lord, I thank you today that I can stand and say that I know that I'm in the faith, that I belong in the house of God, that I'm sealed to the day of redemption, not because of anything I've done or my merit, but it's because of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, I pray, as we give an invitation, if there's anyone who's never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, today would be the day. If there's anyone who wants to be baptized, as these children have set the model for us to be baptized, Lord, I pray today is the day. It's so easy that a child can understand, but so complicated no theologian can fully explain it. Thank you for being God. Thank you for saving our souls. And thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity to respond to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. For his sake, amen.